I want to really just start off by saying to all you dear brothers and sisters that persecution is not something we seek after. It's not something that we try to make happen. Persecution is something that happens when we are living fully as Christ intended us to live. And when the church is at its best, it is being persecuted the worst. And we see this in a typification of Jesus Christ, where he came as the Son of God, full of light and full of grace and truth. And when he displayed his glory, he was despised and he was railed at, he was persecuted, and he was in the end killed. And all the apostles after him, who shared in his glory, who received the Spirit of God in Acts, they became martyrs of the same type. And we only explain this that the world, as our Lord said, hated me, it will hate you also. And the world hates the light because the light exposes their darkness, the deeds of darkness. But Jesus said, I have come to condemn no one. I have come to save people. And our job, saints of God, is not to condemn the world. The world is already condemned. It's in darkness and sin, of which we've all been saved from, if we are believers. But we have come to give the light of God. That Jesus said, we are the light, the church is the light, and we are able to shine it forth to a lost and depraved and dark world to give them hope. So persecution, even when we are brought to torturers and persecutors, it is possibly God's grace and love to them that we can be the love of God to them. And that sounds strange, but this is the experience of believers in China and North Korea and Iran and other countries who obey the command of Jesus and just allow the Holy Spirit of God through them to love their persecutors and see them come to the Lord, even persecutors who are cutting people with knives and scalpels, who are torturing their victims, see a love of God and are converted and come to Christ themselves, or torturers or men who are killing Christians, they become converted on the spot and join the Christians and die with them. And this is not a fanciful tale or a nice story to tell. It's happened too many times to tell. This has happened in history of the church. So we are victorious through Christ. It's a wonderful story. And when we are persecuted, perhaps God himself is getting the most glory because he's working and doing something impossible through us. Who could love their enemies who are trying to kill them, you know, except for Christ through us, you know, as Edgar shared on a prayer call last night. The burden of this gospel fellowships, and if we want more information, it's gospelfellowships.net. And you can just feel free to go to this website, and there's just some information there for you, dear believers in the Lord. It's been a burden, I believe, of not just myself or a few other brothers. This has been a burden that has been a body of Christ burden. Now, let me clarify that. You know, the church in North America, and we don't have to argue about this or prove it, is in a state of lukewarmness and coming apostasy. Apostasy is around the corner. We see it in churches where they do wicked dances and Harlem dances, and churches where they pray dog prayers and do just vile things, clown communion services, mock communion services where they have a clown serve communion. This has happened in America, dear brothers and sisters, not just in a Catholic or a Lutheran type of church. We're talking about non-denominational charismatic churches have turned into circuses, have been just the amount of things done in the name of entertainment has been overwhelming. So we don't have to argue about this. If you're a saint of God who has discernment, who's seen the signs of the times, we know the church in North America is not in a good state. So we see this, and we also have to look and see that a lot of the denominational groups and larger denominations are not free in the Holy Spirit to work as God would desire them to work. Hence, we are in this bad state. And this is not an anti-denominational message, as our dear brother shared, because every movement of God or every work of God starts off not being a denomination, and it turns into a denomination over time. So we all denominations, whether they're 200-year-old, very traditional denominations where we think the Spirit of God is not at work at all, or whether it just be a 30- or 40-year-old movement that has turned into more of an organized denomination, the Lord has still been at work through these, and he's accomplished his purposes through all these movements. Now, in North America, what we're saying here, and perhaps it's prophetic, but we're saying that there is going to come a time when we will need to meet in smaller gatherings, in homes, under persecution in North America. And this is something that is perhaps not happening in the measure now that alarms you, yourself right now listening to this. But I'll tell you, dear brother or sister, within 5 or 10 years, you'll be seeing this, and this will happen. We will be forced to meet in homes. Even from most large denominational movements and churches, if you're to follow the Lord as he should be followed, you'll be forced to follow along in their apostasy and the way they're going, or you'll be forced to basically leave the church, and there'll be social ostracizing of you. There'll be emotional abuse and mental abuse on you. People will say, hey, why don't you get with the program? We're the church. We're fine. And you're being legalistic, and you're not really following the Lord. You're a Pharisee. And there's a lot of this is already happening, but I'll tell you, this is going to happen on such a large scale that if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, not a person who just is thinking that you're different than everyone else, you're better, but you're just a person who loves Jesus, you love his word, you love his truth, you will be at some point forced to leave your denominational church. And perhaps not all, but many will happen. And you'll find yourself in the place of needing to find fellowship. And this is already happening in some scale, brothers and sisters, but this is going to happen much more as the time progresses. And we believe and pray for corporate revival and national spiritual awakening, and we do not stop praying prayers for that. But there seems to be such an abuse and spiritual judgment that God has given, and an abuse of God and his grace and his love to North America and the Christians here, that it seems that God must judge what is happening. You know, I'll just give one example. We don't think this. We have to understand how severe the time is. We talk about prosperity gospels, and people laugh about it sometimes. They make a joke about the prosperity gospel. Or you hear a Reformed brother or some other brother who's more scriptural, and they'll, you know, tell you the way that prosperity teachers are wrong, and they'll do an expose of them, and they'll mock them. But who is weeping over them? Who is weeping over the grief of God over this false gospel? And it's a gospel that perverts the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a wicked way that God's anger and his judgment is upon it. Just as Balaam, the false prophet, that there are many pastors and teachers who have shared in this gospel, who have flirted with this gospel, and this gospel has been literally exported to majorly almost every country in the world. Do you not think that God must judge this, saints? We do not understand the severity of the time we're in right now. I personally don't understand. I just see in a glass dimly here, and I know this is very serious. Thank God and praise the Lord that this type of gospel has not infiltrated, as far as my knowledge, and other brothers who are much more privy to the underground, rural, house church movement in China of 80 million believers. Some of the foolishness in this wicked perversion of the gospel has, but very little, and they've rejected it. This gospel is not infiltrated into Iran's underground church as much, especially not North Korea or other places like this. So we are very thankful to God for that. We want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that it is wisdom, as Jesus said to the Pharisees, to know the signs of the times. And if he is to say that to Pharisees, who he called blind leaders of the blind, how much more should we be as the saints of God to heed his warnings and to really consider the signs of the times? Do we have eyes to see, or has our eye become blind? We need to ask the Lord for discernment and wisdom of how to prepare and how to look at the current situation. We are the church. We go to churches and buildings and assemblies of the Lord, but we are the church of God, and we need to prepare ourselves as the church for persecution and suffering. And also, not even for this, but also for just encouragement to follow scriptures that in Hebrews says that we should meet together and fellowship together, unless the deceitfulness of sin will overtake us. We need to not be ignorant of Satan's devices, but to encourage each other daily, as it's called today. We believe that house churches, the name house church, it could be a meeting anywhere. It doesn't have to be in a house. A house is a reasonable place and a smart place to meet. But we're saying of just groups of believers to meet together, to gather together, in even just twos or threes. We read in Matthew 18:20, our Lord said, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." So our Lord says, as we gather in two or three in his name, my name, there I am with them. And if that's not the church, brothers and sisters, of which is where two or three believers gather in his name, where his presence is and the Spirit of Jesus Christ is present in 1 Corinthians 5, not just to judge, but to be there to encourage and to strengthen and to exhort and to lead his body. We need to have confidence in this. We need to have confidence that we do not need to have a senior pastor in the room to lead us. You know, we can have just two or three brothers in the Lord, and by the Holy Spirit we can ask for direction and leadership and leading. We do agree with leadership in the body of Christ. We believe it's important and necessary and vital. We do pray that the Lord, even in these groups, when they meet together, that God will raise up shepherds and leaders and apostles, prophets, teachers for the maturing of the body of Christ, for the strengthening of the saints, that we will come to a full maturity in the faith. So we consider this vital. Now, what we're calling for, too, in this movement is not something to leave your church. It's not to say you have to leave your fellowship or assembly that you're with. It's to say that we want to meet outside of any denominational group, to meet with many brothers from different denominations and different churches, and even especially brothers and sisters who do not have a church they are able to find to fellowship with a meeting. So we pray that this can happen, and that people would find like-minded fellowship with believers from all different backgrounds and denominations. For the denominations in themselves have been a grief to our Lord. The dividing of over 40,000 denominational sects and groups in the last 100-plus years in North America has been a grievance to God's heart, and to show us as a church how carnal and how worldly we have been. We need to understand that the Lord prayed for a church in John 17 that was one, And his desire is for us to look to ourselves as the body of Christ, as one body, as one church. And we need to understand this, that the days of thinking of denominations should be over, and God is going to, the true saints of God who have eyes to see and hearts to think about this, will understand that we are part of a bride, one bride, before our Lord. And we're not going to be a divided bride, you know. So we, churches in China and Korea, North Korea, Iran, or other many other little small pockets and places around the world where God has done a real revival and a work, denominations have been taken away. They look at themselves as one. The China church, the underground church, has seven large main networks of believers. They do not consider themselves separate. They are one. They call themselves different names, perhaps, but when they think of each other, they think of themselves as one church. Leaders in these movements don't exalt them. They don't give them titles. They call them brothers and sisters, and they respect and submit to them. So we need to get to this place where Paul said, in 1 Corinthians 3:5, we are just servants. We are just those who are servants. So, brothers and sisters, I'm not a leader in this. I'm not. I'm being obedient to the Lord to speak these things out and to write these things down. And many other brothers, mature brothers, godly brothers in the Lord, who are shepherds of a flock of God, they are sharing the same burdens and the same heart. And we believe this is not something we're trying to start. What we're saying is this is already existing. People have been sensing the need to prepare like this for years. And people have been stepping out to do such. And all that we're doing, brothers and sisters, is just trying to, from my point, I'm just trying to be obedient to see this and say, Lord, I have a heart to encourage the whole body of those who have ears to hear, to prepare and to be in groups, to really be fruitful to the Lord and come to more maturity in the Lord and have a better discernment and time with the Lord. So we desire to simply do this, and we are just stepping forward to encourage believers to gather together in groups. And we don't have a listing of the groups necessarily with Gospel Fellowships. We're just going to have some regional meetings later in this year, and our desire is just for believers to come from established house churches already, people who are in good Bible teaching churches, to even consider coming to these groups just for fellowship, especially people who do not have fellowship in their area. We are encouraging to come out too. And we just believe through this meeting together, this gathering time, the Lord can, by the Holy Spirit, birth birth house churches, connect people by the Holy Spirit to the right people. And we are not going to write names or figure this out or try to organize it. We're just going to try to facilitate a meeting here, there, in local areas as part of what our burden is. And again, what I'm sharing with you, brothers and sisters, this is not something that is unique or new. There are many others doing this. Perhaps not as vocally or as with a website as well organized as this, but people are doing this, and this is already happening. So we're just trying to come into obedience to what the Lord wants, and we're just trying to come into His program and His plan. We're not trying to start something. This is not a new model or idea of how to do church. We just want to come into what the Lord wants. So I hope that's a bit clear. And I guess Brother Blaine mentioned a Q&A session time that we're very open to sharing on. And we do just share such a heart with a persecuted church. And we're thankful to be on this call because in this book we're compiling, a free ebook, we've taken a lot of the principles and thoughts from the underground churches in Iran, North Korea, and China. And we believe that there's much to learn from these underground networks, and we also have taken principles from the book of Acts. And for us who read our Bibles and read church history and really think about it, the book of Acts was an underground church, and secondly, the book of Acts, the church was in constant persecution. So what better model for us, or kind of guidelines and principles to learn from, would be, you know, more than the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a wonderful thing. And it's our burden, too, of reading scriptures that prophetically in the end times, the church, how the church began, the church will end. And we believe it will end in much more glory. But brothers and sisters, I believe that means much more persecution. Jesus Christ himself in Matthew 24 said that the gospel will be preached to every nation and every people group. But we don't think of the verses before it, that they'll hate us and they'll bring us up before rulers and kings and to put us to death. And mothers will betray children, and children will betray mothers, and fathers and sons. So we see this very abusive, satanic, strong persecution that will happen worldwide to the church in every nation and every people group. But the gospel, therefore, through that persecution, will be preached to every king, every ruler, every poor person, every family will hear it. You know, God is going to allow through persecution his wonderful, glorious gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that the God loved this world and gave his son for us. And we can have eternal life in his son, through his son Jesus. You know, as we turn away from our wicked ways and our sins and cling to Jesus Christ and look to him and see that he died for our sins and he took upon our sins upon himself and he bore the wrath of God for us and he loves us, and we just can look when we see him, when the gospel's preached and people see Jesus, they understand that it's this message that such love of God and a wonderful message that will transform your life but give you eternal life. And, you know, this will be preached with the Holy Spirit unction and power in the end times and through much persecution. So we believe that this is biblical, that if we do believe, as the church in North America has emphasized and taught for the last 30-plus years, that the imminency of the coming of Jesus Christ is upon us, that he could come any day, we must therefore believe also the scriptures that say that there's a great coming persecution and that a church will be a part of this and that we are to preach the gospel to the entire world. So it's, to me, not just, this is not gloom and doom. As Brother Brian Long shared in the message at this conference, that on persecution, that gloom and doom is to say the church must stay as it is in North America, and we must continue to be lukewarm and continue not to have a vibrant faith and a free faith and a growing faith like the Chinese Underground Church or the Book of Acts. But the good news is, you know, God doesn't want to keep the church like this. He loves us. He died for us. We are his. He has a burden for his church and his bride, and he shares it with those who love him and love his church too. And it's only through loving Christ and being united with Christ that we have a love for the church. And mm-hmm. We pray for godly leaders and shepherds who will be raised up, who weep over mm-hmm. the church, who love the church, and love the church as God loves it. And that's our burden. So we are so thankful to be on this call, brother. Thank you for the opportunity.